You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back with Robert Spencer. We're talking with him about the state of Sharia supremacism in America as well as elsewhere around the world and the hopeful signal change that President Trump's new national security strategy seems to portend, at least if he has people serving him who will faithfully execute it, something that I think has to begin with the replacement of H.R. McMaster, as a matter of fact, the National Security Advisor. But, Robert, before the break, we were talking a bit about this issue of feminists rallying behind and otherwise legitimating and supporting a woman who, as you've mentioned, is now herself accused of enabling a sexual abuser, predator, if you will, to prey on one of her employees. And I'm struck by something that she said you reported on at Jihad Watch recently, which is this idea that a, quote, good Muslim, unquote, can't commit sexual assault. I'm not sure whether that's attributed directly to her or whether it's simply what she was enabling, but how can this possibly square with any concern about women's rights and, you know, preventing practices that, well, let's face it, are actually condoned by Sharia?
Well, you know, what's remarkable about it is that this whole story is unfolding as per Sharia provisions, that a good Muslim would not commit sexual assault. That was something that somebody who worked with Sarsour told the accuser. And Sarsour completely discounted her testimony on several occasions. Well, you know, Frank, in Islamic law, a woman's testimony is devalued. The Quran in chapter 2, verse 282, it says that a woman's testimony is worth half that of a man, that you get one man to testify or two women.
Four men have to testify, I guess, if she's been raped, right?
That's correct. Yeah, they have to be. That's chapter 24, verse 13 of the Quran. So they have to be four witnesses to establish a sexual crime. And so in this case also, and we have to also note, very important, that Sharia does not allow for the testimony of a woman at all in cases of zina being sexual crimes or indiscretions. And so even if a woman is the accuser, her testimony has no value in Islamic law.
This would seem on the face of it to be an affront to people who profess endlessly that women have equal rights with men, if not actually more rights than men, it seems. How can they have it both ways?
Well, they're relying on the ignorance of the American people, Frank. They're relying on the fact that most Americans have no idea what Islam teaches. And, you know, not only does the Quran say that a woman's testimony is worth half that of a man, but then Muhammad rubbed it in a hadith. The hadith are reports of Muhammad's words and deeds, and when they're considered authentic, they're normative for Sharia to formulate Islamic law. And Muhammad goes up to a group of women and says that I've seen a vision of hell, and hell is mostly filled with women. And they ask him why, and he says, because women are deficient in intelligence and in religion, in piety. And they ask him, why are we deficient in intelligence? And he actually invokes the Quran and says, look, isn't your testimony worth half that of a man? So you're deficient in intelligence. These things are core Islamic belief. And so the idea that Islam champions women's rights is just a propaganda statement that has no basis in reality.
Yeah. Well, and it follows from that, of course, that women who profess to be concerned about women's rights, set aside Linda Sarsour and other, apologists or taqiyya mongers among them, non-Muslim women who are throwing in with those who, like Linda, promote Sharia, are clearly not only clueless about what the practical effects of that are, but are inviting, I think, the very kind of behavior that they say they condemn. Robert, let me switch gears here because we could spend a lot more time talking about that, but I wanted to broaden the lens a bit because you have done at Jihad Watch and in your columns at PJ Media and Front Page Magazine, such a superb job of helping us understand what's going on in Europe as a kind of leading edge of what these Sharia supremacists have in mind for all of us. And one of the things that caught my attention recently was a report that one of your colleagues at Front Page, Christine Douglas Williams, had about women in Germany, Muslim women in Germany, now becoming increasingly aggressive in public spaces like pools. We've for some time been hearing about Muslim men, but this is now taking on a different complexion, is it not? And how does this fit in with the overall thrust of Sharia supremacism?
Well, you know, Frank, the Quran says that to Muslims, you are the best of people, enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong. That's chapter 3, verse 110. And conversely, it says in chapter 98, verse 6, that the unbelievers are the most vile of created beings. And so you've got, on the one hand, the very best of people, and they're the best of people specifically because they enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. And the unbelievers are the most vile of created beings. Now, in Germany, you take people who have that kind of assumption and take them to a swimming pool. They're going to behave with contemptuousness and disdain and aggression towards these people who they think are the most vile of created beings, who do not know what is right and what is wrong. You are the best of people. You're superior to them, and you behave as such. And you tell them how they ought to be behaving, because you are the ones who know what is right and forbid what is wrong.
And it flows from that, does it not? That when they perceive what the authorities at the pool or the other non-Muslims who are in it or the community more generally does in response to this kind of contemptuous behavior is submissiveness, that it simply reinforces the behavior. It makes them even more aggressive, even more likely to engage in, jihad, does it not?
Yeah, we have two colliding cultural assumptions. On the one hand, we have a culture of strength and weakness that views conciliation and attempts to reach out in friendship as signs of weakness and regards them with contempt. And this too comes from Islamic law, from Sharia, because Sharia tells Muslims that they should, if they are fighting and they're losing, then they should reach out and ask for a truce. And the truce can be for 10 years and renewed if necessary with the unbelievers, but it should only be undertaken if the Muslims are losing and need time to gather strength to fight again more successfully. Now, that is what they perceive the Germans to be doing. The Germans are coming from Western culture, and they think, you reach out to people in friendship and they will reciprocate. You reach out in kindness and they will be kind to you. That is not an assumption that is in Sharia societies. And so they see the Germans reaching out in kindness and friendship and think, oh, they're weak. They're weak. And so they are suing for peace. They are asking for a truce, because that's what we do when we're weak. And so they treat them, and so they consider that this is the time to be even more aggressive and even more belligerent with the weak Germans, because they see this is the time that can press forward to complete victory.
And as you are watching this play out, Robert Spencer, I know you're taking a somewhat longer view than your average German politician, let's say. And we have to pause for just a moment here, but when we come back, I want to ask you about how the sort of intensifying Islamification of Europe is translating into both more submission on the part of non-Muslims and more aggressiveness on the part of Sharia's adherents and other Muslims. Right after this.